Good evening. So I know what I'm speaking on tonight. So I know Philip usually comes down here on Wednesday nights, but I had no idea how heavy this was going to be, so I'm glad I could pick it up. And as I get through some of the scripture this evening, you guys will see why I was a little bit concerned about that. Tonight's scripture that we're going to be reading out of is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And the way I have arrived there and gotten to that, if y'all remember just a few weeks ago when Philip was preaching on fasting, he referenced some of these verses as Jesus was tempted during the fast. And then also with some of the things that were going on in the world lately, this is just really, there's been some things out of this piece of scripture that's really pressed on me and is really challenging me in my spirit. So I know I've heard you say this as well. Many times when people preach and they speak, certainly in this case, this is something that the Spirit's working on me about. I'm not preaching at anybody. What's going on with that? What am I doing? It's all right. Y'all remember where I was? So I'm not preaching at anybody. This is something that the Spirit's laid on me, and I'm sharing it with you guys because I think that there's probably some folks in here that could also use that same encouragement that the Spirit is pressing on me, okay? So Matthew chapter 4, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, Philip. I don't know. What are y'all doing to me up there? You guys? It's her? Okay. Do I need to stand still? I'll stand still. Best I can. I get nervous feet, y'all. I'll move around. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands will they bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So part of the reason I got here is because I got to thinking about, I'm going to move, y'all. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'll try to be careful with this arm. Recently, you know, over the course of this year, we've seen John MacArthur die. We've seen Charlie Kirk killed in front of the world to see. And recently, Vodi Bakum died. Some of y'all know who that is, some of you may not. But all three of those individuals, in my opinion, were very, very strong Christians. They stood in the face of criticism on a regular basis. I remember hearing a story about John MacArthur during the pandemic where he was still having church and bringing people in, and, you know, he's in California, and, you know, the local government didn't like that. They didn't want that. They were trying to shut him down and said they were going to throw him in jail for having church. And he's like, "Well, good. I'll be like Paul. I'll just start a ministry in jail." Of course, y'all, many of y'all probably, if you didn't know, you probably learned a little bit about Charlie Kirk recently, where not only did he face criticism, he welcomed the conversation. and that's what ended up ultimately somebody shooting him. And then Vody Bachum, he was never afraid to ruffle feathers in public space by speaking truth. So to me, these folks were just strong. They were very, very strong when it comes to their walk and when it comes to their faith. When we look at spiritual faith, it's pretty easy to make some comparisons with physical strength as well. Hence why I was worried if I could pick this podium up or not and bring it down here this evening. I was like, oh boy, if I can't pick it up, that'll be an example. One of the strongest people I've ever met in my life, his name is Barrett Brunson. Barrett was from Centernail, Alabama. Anybody know where Centernail, Alabama is? It's south of here. In college, Barrett took me deer hunting. And I never even killed a deer, but I shot one that day. And in my excitement, I go to dragging this thing out, and I realized pretty quick it's pretty hard to drag a deer out, especially with a climbing tree stand on your back and all your clothes on. Well, I'd never been in those woods, so I drug the deer in the wrong direction. Okay? And I quickly realized I should have been at the road by now, and I wasn't. So I had some orange tape in my pocket. I was like, well, I'll just start walking back out the way I came, hopefully, and I'll just leave myself an orange trail. Well, after about the third orange ribbon I had tied up, I realized I don't know what kind of orange ribbon party had happened in those woods, but there are orange ribbons everywhere. So I finally made it out to the road. I'm sitting there. Barrett drives up. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm not even in the spot I'm supposed to be. Well, I got turned around. So we had to go get my deer. This guy takes this deer, takes his legs, ties them together, and throws them on his shoulder like a purse. He's carrying that deer through the woods like a purse on his shoulder. Well, I also didn't mention that in my excitement to go down there, I left my boots at home. So I'm walking around in tennis shoes. Well, I drug this deer in such a way that the quickest way back to the road was through a cypress swamp. It was about knee deep with water. Well, I didn't want to walk through that with my tennis shoes on. Barrett's got this deer on his shoulder. He says, well, just get on my back. Let's go. So sure enough, I climb up on Barrett's back, and with him toting a deer and me on his back, walking through knee-deep water, he walks through this cypress swamp. And y'all, I'm talking about like a couple hundred yards. And I was like, wow, this guy is, I don't want to wrestle with him, you know. He's a strong guy. In his 40s, Barrett enters a strongman contest in Foley, Alabama, and in the Masters division, he wins the strongman contest in the state of Alabama. I watched the guy do bench press reps with 425 pounds. Not max, reps. The guy was incredibly strong, is incredibly strong. But no matter how strong Barrett is, I promise you, I can put enough weight on that bar that he can't pick it up. He'll need help. Our spiritual strength is just like that. There's a lot of things that you might think you can take on yourself and you can pick up and you can carry and you can do. But there's a spot in a place where you're going to need help. In this scripture that I read, when we look at Jesus in this situation, verse 1, who led Jesus into the wilderness? What does the scripture say? The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. So the Spirit knew what was about to go on and what was about to happen here. And just a reminder, too, this is right after Jesus was baptized. This is right after, this is my son who I'm well pleased. This is right after that. This is right in between him beginning his ministry. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit full well knows what's about to happen. And Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. What's the longest anybody in here has ever gone without food? 10 days? 2 hours? Yeah. Look, we live in a society now where we can't go from one meal to the next, right? We got to have a snack between meals, you know. There's a comedian out there now that I recently heard him say, you know, it's like my sugar's low. You know, I sure use a piece of pie. If somebody get me a piece of pie, get me going again, get my sugar back up. But that's kind of how we are, where it doesn't take us very long before we start grumbling. You know, when Philip's running long on Sunday mornings, my stomach's already going, right? I mean, I'm hungry. I gotta eat. And if I don't go very long, if I go very long without food, I start getting weak. Snickers made a whole marketing campaign on you get hungry and you're not even yourself anymore, right? You act like somebody else till you get some Snickers in you. So we know what it's like to get hungry in a very short period of time. We do know what it's like to go for a little while without food, and we physically start to feel that. And it can mentally have and emotionally have an impact on us. So after 40 days in the wilderness of fasting, do y'all think Jesus was physically strong or physically weak? I think he was physically weak. So if the Spirit led him there and had him fast for 40 days and 40 nights and make him weak before he was about to face these temptations, why would the Spirit have him do that? Why would he have him so weak when he's about to face these temptations? Well, I'll tell you why. It showed that Jesus depended upon God. It was a demonstration of dependence. See, when we're faced with temptations, we can feed our flesh or we can depend on God. In this case, I really believe that we're given the words in the scripture that showed this, what I don't even know is medically possible today, to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I believe we're given that to show that Jesus was in a spot, in a place that was very weak, and that the only way he was going to be able to face these temptations was through the power of God on his life. And brothers and sisters, the only way that we can truly defeat and overcome the temptations that we're going to be faced with today, tonight, tomorrow, and forevermore is through the power of God. We've got to learn to depend on God to help us through temptations. Jesus ends up quoting right here, every time Jesus says it is written, he is quoting out of Deuteronomy. There's no coincidence that he's quoting out of Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 is where he quotes it first. He says, you know, it is written. And he says that you will not live on bread alone. And where this is coming in Scripture is we're hearing about the children of Israel in the wilderness. How long were the children of Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. So this 40 years that the children of Israel out there in the wilderness, and they're falling on their face and they're failing. I mean, God's given them manna. He's providing for them. He's showing them the way with great signs. He's providing for them day and night. Yet they gripe, they complain, they whine about it. They failed, really. They failed in their dependence and trusting in God. Jesus quotes this, throwing this right back in Satan's face to make a statement that though they did what they did, he's about to overcome. He's about to overcome. In verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So when I read this, and I want to be clear when I say this, but hopefully I can communicate why I'm going here with this. When you read this, he took him up to this high place and he said, throw yourself down. One of two things would have happened. He throws himself down and he would have died. If that were to have happened, what would we call that today? Suicide. That hit me one day very recently, and I think it's very important for us to come to that realization. And the reason I think it's important is because in today's world, the world we live in today, the suicide rate is at an alarming place. There are a lot of people who are struggling. There are a lot of people who have a hard time. In fact, the second leading cause of death between young people ages 10 to 34, second leading cause of death, only behind accidents, is suicide. There's a real, real good chance. There's a real, real good chance that somebody in this room has dealt with a situation yourself, or you know somebody. So I think it's very important for us when we look at Scripture to recognize when we say Jesus has been there and Jesus has felt what you're going through, there's some people who think he can't relate with them. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And I think it's very important for us to understand and learn and be able to advise others at how Jesus responded. Jesus responded by having faith in God's word. See, what ultimately the temptation was, is Satan was trying to get Jesus to do something, to get God to act prematurely. It was really veering from God's plan. And I think, y'all ever think you maybe take things into your own hands and go your own way? Y'all ever struggle? Is that just me? That's just a me thing? It's not. I think we all do, right? Well, same situation here is where Satan is trying to force Jesus to force God's hand. And Jesus responds with Scripture. Jesus responds with having faith in God's plan. Jesus didn't throw himself off the pinnacle. Jesus didn't test the power of God to see if the angels would catch him. Jesus didn't try to end his life shorter, prematurely. Jesus didn't try to change God's plan. Jesus simply stood on the word of God. The situation that our nation is in with the rate of suicides, there's a lot of people who feel like this life, they get to feeling where this life's just too heavy. The title of this sermon was How Do You Get Stronger? And I think about, I said Barrett bench pressed 425 pounds and did reps with it. I can't do that. I can do it with help. Might take a forklift, but I can do it with help. Jesus was weak and Jesus had fasted. It showed his dependence. When you or somebody you love, somebody you know, somebody you care about, when they are facing a situation where they feel like this life's too heavy, we need to be able to point and show that we have to depend on God, that we can't all bench press 425 pounds by ourselves. I can put enough weight on that bar, as I said earlier, that Barrett can't bench press it either. He'll need help. We all get to a spot where we need help. And that's okay, because that shows the strength of God. That shows dependence in God, and that shows true faith. And it's okay to rely on him. You know, we live in a society where we're supposed to be, you know, it's us. It's about us. I can handle it. I got it. I got this. I'm good, Paul. I got this. That's not how he designed us. He designed us to depend on him. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. In this situation, you know, Satan was tempting Jesus to take a shortcut. He was tempting him to take the easy way out. What Jesus was about to go through in his ministry and about to go through with the persecution, the beating, and the cross, Satan was tempting him with a way out, with taking the easy road. I'm afraid too many times in my life and in my spiritual life, I'm choosing the easy road. I'm choosing the easy route. What's the shortcut? Because sometimes the walk that is put in front of us, we think it's too hard. We think it's too heavy. It is. We got to learn to rely on him. We got to learn to depend on him. I mentioned Bodie Baucham is one of the three guys who recently died. Bodie preached a sermon in 2024, and the sermon was about persecution and how the church in America today, we really have no idea what persecution really is. We have a total misunderstanding of what that really is. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, but he basically said, you know, we're in a spot where Satan has figured out that if he just simply will give us a little bit of pleasure, if he will give us a little bit of position, and he'll give us a little bit of possession. Those are the three P's that Bodie used. It's comfort. Those things are comfort. He said, we'll shut our mouth. We won't say anything about the gospel to anybody. We won't stir the pot and make a... We don't want to make a scene. We don't want to be viewed as that person. We'll shut up because we're comfortable. It's a shortcut. It's an easy road. It's an easy way out. I really got worried about my kids when I thought about this. I think my dad and my mom probably wanted better for me than what they had. I think their parents wanted better for them than what, and so on, right? And I think I want good for my kids. But I also think about all the things that I did as a child and what I was exposed to as a child and what my kids have never been exposed to. And I think maybe in an effort to provide them comfort and a good life, I worry that have we created an environment and a culture where they're not spiritually as strong as they need to be? Because they have pleasure, because they have position, and because they have possessions. They're comfortable. Bodie said, when you have those things, people will do almost anything to keep it. You'll sell out to keep those things. A I got to thinking about what Vody said, and I got to thinking about this scripture, and I got to thinking about these temptations that Jesus was faced with. They apply directly to those temptations. Y'all think about this. You hadn't eaten in 40 days. Makes me think about Chick-fil-A, right? It's my pleasure. How much do you think he would have enjoyed to eat a piece of bread after 40 days? It'd have been good. Oh, it'd have been good. It's pleasure. When he took him up to the pinnacle and said, throw yourself off, Satan knew if he did that the angels would come. The Son of God would have been revealed because God wouldn't have let his son, he wasn't ready, it wasn't time. God wouldn't have, it would have been revealed that he was the Son of God. Y'all know in Scripture several times, Jesus said several times, it's not time yet. Well, if I just put it back here. He said several times, it's not time yet, right? But his position would have been revealed. In the last one, he says, bow down before me. Bow down before me, and everything you see in front of you here, it'll be yours. He could possess, have possession of the world. The three things that Vody said, those three things that he said, we in America have become so comfortable with, and that we have become weak because of, those are the three things that Satan was tempting Jesus with in Matthew chapter 4. It's the same battle. It's the same things. The devil's tactics may sound a little different. They may come at you a little different, but it's the same things. Well, guess what? The same way Jesus overcame is the same way we can overcome. It is by the Word of God. It's got to be a part of your life. It's got to be in your life. You got to be able to use it like the sword that it is, like Jesus did. When we're faced with temptations, it's very important for us to understand and remember that temptation tests our dependence on God. It's very important for us to remember that Satan will continue and always has, from Genesis to now, twist God's word. Several times in the scripture that we read tonight, Satan's quoting scripture to some degree, but he twists it. He will continue to do that. When faced with temptations, it's always important for us to remember that God's word will give us the strength that we need to face and overcome those temptations. This is also very, very important to you. This hit me as I was studying, and I read somewhere, and it said, when you're faced with temptation and you decide to give in to temptation, you just decided not to worship God. That hit me kind of strong. I was like, never thought about it that way. Here's kind of the gist of it. When you're faced with temptation, you get to choose, am I going to follow God's way and follow God? Or am I going to give in to me? Or in this case, the temptation from Satan that's put in front. Which one of those am I going to bow down to? It's a decision. The author that I read that from says, I believe that could be interpreted as a form of worship. And that's where I was like, wow, I've never really thought about it in that context. And I don't know if that's exactly right or not. But man, it really kind of hits me. It kind of hits me funny. To think about, you know, if I'm saying yes to this temptation, I am saying no to God's way. That's something to think about next time we're faced with temptation. Overcoming temptation happens by depending on God. His word, the work that Jesus has already done on the cross, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. Those things God has given and God has provided to make us stronger. I have a challenge for me as we go forward and a challenge for you as we go forward. I want you to ask yourself, where are you weak? What spots are you weak at? Where do you struggle? Where do you fail? What are those spots? And then I want you to ask yourself, why? Why is it? Why do I struggle with that? Is it because of your walk? Is it because of your lack of time with God? Are you in the Word? How's your prayer life? What are you allowing into your mind? What are you allowing into your life? Why am I weak in those areas? Have I sold out to protect my pleasure, to protect my position, and to protect my possessions? Have I quite honestly become lazy because of my comfort? And because of that, I'm weak. I'm going to close with another piece of scripture. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is what Paul said. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. Here's some homework for you. Go read Galatians chapter 5. In verse 23, you'll find that a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I used a lot of comparisons between physical strength and spiritual strength as we talked through this scripture tonight, as does Paul here, with preparing for a race or preparing to actually box. In those cases, we know that Paul is talking about a spiritual race, a spiritual battle, a spiritual fight. And in those instances, he brings out the fruit of self-control. As we face the temptations that Satan is going to throw at us, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit that we have to trust in and we have to lean upon. The Word of God is our defense. The Holy Spirit is our help. Satan is either, one, going to leave you alone because you're not a threat, or number two, Satan is going to come at you like he came at Jesus, and he's going to throw things at you, and he's going to try to cause you to stumble, try to cause you to doubt, try to cause you to fail. If you're not walking with God, if you're not in God's Word, and you're not in prayer, and you're not sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who are you going to be worshiping when those temptations come? Well, y'all, that's what was on my heart. I hope that there's somebody here that maybe that challenges you, helps you, wakes you up. Or I hope you go, you know what, I know what that young man's feeling, and I've been there, and I'm on the other side of it. But I hope there was something in there that encourages you to look at where you're at, what your walk looks like. Are you being tempted? Are you overcoming? Are you not being tempted? And if not, where are you at? All right, I'm gonna close with prayer, and after I pray, consider yourself dismissed. Let's pray together.